Today on Real Life Radio.
I hate what Satan has done and we've allowed him to do to the family. He has devastated marriages, and so many little girls and boys are growing up without moms and dads. And the damage is yet to be seen.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called "Why is Sex and Sexuality Such a Big Deal These Days?" continues his series called The Why Series. From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible has to say is true, to the Christian who wants to confirm what they believe, the Why Series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to universal questions we all face in life. But questions regarding sex and sexuality are not often addressed by the church. We often avoid what makes us uncomfortable without realizing how really important our sex and sexuality are to God. Throughout history, the world's opinion regarding sex and sexuality is tragically mistaken, that sex is dirty or that it's only for populating the earth. We forget that the God of the Bible invented sex and sexuality, and it's the devil of the Bible who perverted it. So on this part of the message today, Pastor Jack tells us that for us to better understand the modern-day issue of sex and sexuality, we first need to defend the biblical view that we've been created differently. We have a unique ability to relate with each other both in communication and with private personal intimacy. And now in his message called "Why is Sex and Sexuality Such a Big Deal These Days?" here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So Father, we pray that you would be, as the pastors prayed this evening, as we got together, God, that you would radically, wonderfully provide over tonight's service. We come together as a church and we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus, that our lives would represent you in everything that we do. And Father, that tonight, as we begin to embark upon a series, as it were, within a series, that you'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to each and every one of us. So, Lord, we ask now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, tonight, different demeanor tonight, different presentation because of the sensitivity of it. I don't know if I try to post in advance my Facebook page letting you know where we're heading on Wednesday nights. And if you read that, we're heading into issues starting tonight and for a handful of Wednesday nights from here on out in our time together regarding what we begin this evening, and that is why, in the Why series, why is sex and sexuality such a big deal these days? What does that mean? What does that question mean? And what does the Bible have to say regarding sex and sexuality? And in that question encompasses all of what we need to look at as human beings in this area, a topic which the world is obsessed with, a topic that is all over the media, it's all over the television, it's all over the movies, it's all over blogs, it's all over everything, and yet the church at this hour collectively, if not America, the world, is just going down a path of denial regarding this topic. And that's unfortunate. Because it appears that when you look at the Bible and what the Bible teaches, going back at least 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, if we take on the Song of Solomon, how many of you read the Song of Solomon? Raise your hands. Oh my goodness, great. That book, you know the Jews in Israel, or the Jews around the world, they don't have to be in Israel. If you're in a Jewish family, if you're a man, you're not allowed to read the Song of Solomon until you're 30. At least that's the old rule, because it's too graphic. The Bible talks about these issues. But ever since the Victorian era, the issues of what the Bible says and what is going on in the culture regarding sex and sexuality has been avoided. In fact, it was Queen Victoria who said, I'm not quoting her exactly, but I'm really close. She told the ladies, the young women of the kingdom of Great Britain, she said, when that event is before you, she said, lay back and do it for the glory of the kingdom of the crown. Just do it for the country. And that sentiment is carried through the Victorian era, and it was brought into the hearts of the Puritan movement. It's one of the reasons, by the way, if you're European tonight, or if you're watching from Europe right now, the Europeans have a view about Americans that they still lay on us today, is that when it comes to sex and sexuality, they're telling us, we are very Victorian. Have you ever heard that term regarding the U.S.? Well, that comes from the Puritan movement and from the Great Awakening in the early 17, well, about 1720 to 1760s, 1770s in the United States. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying that that's what laid down the foundation. So mark this down in your Bible, if you would. And there's going to be obviously scriptures that we're going to mention regarding this, but you should know something. And that is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verses 5 and 6. The Bible, God takes the opportunity in the Bible to relate to us as the church and to Israel, to God the Father, in marital terms, in relationship terms of wife and husband. And it's more than just an analogy, or it's more than just symbolism. Isaiah 54 verse 5 says, for your maker is your husband, listen carefully, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Verse 6, for the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. So God is speaking to the nation of Israel, and he says, I am your husband and you're my wife. And he, by the way, he says this in numerous scriptures. You can look at that later. But God refers to Israel as his wife. The Bible says that God is married to Israel, and that she numerous times has been conducting herself as a nation in an adulterous way with him. Marital terms. Are you with me, everybody, on that? The Bible speaks about Jesus altogether different. The Bible speaks about Jesus being the bridegroom-to-be regarding the church who is his bride-to-be. The bride of Christ is the church, the Bible says, who is promised to him. And in heaven, there is something called the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the church, you and I, as a collective body of believers, is viewed as, in heaven, the bride of Christ. And so that shouldn't surprise you. That shouldn't be something that's strange to you. But the world's opinion of the church regarding sex and sexuality is one that we have given them. Basically, what I'm saying is this. The world says of us that we're the ones who have made, the church has been the one that has made sex dirty. The world says we've made it dirty. That the world says of us that we are really the ones that shun sex in sexuality. And that's their critique upon us. If you dig deeper, you'll find out the reason why they say that. And the reason why, by the way, they say that is because you are unwilling to accept all of these various representations of what is called sex and sexuality. That means the world is saying, hey, it's our way, you don't agree, so you are out of step, and you guys make it a bad thing. So, church, I want to tell you something right now. Our God is a God of life. The world takes life, and I'm specifically referring to like abortion, for example. And they'll tell us that that topic is something we should stay out of because we don't have the proper view of it. So church butt out on the issue of life. You saw that video a moment ago. The world says, hey, we don't care what the Bible says. We don't care what you guys say, Christians, about marriage. We're going to take the institution of marriage and we're going to redefine it. And you lived, all of you, have lived through the redefining of marriage in America. There was and continues to be a massive sociological and cultural shift in the United States because marriage as an institution has been destroyed in America. And that's happened in the last decade, in the last 10 years. The world says this is what it is. And the church barely makes a peep. You understand that? We barely defend what God has created. The world then, because of the lack of us showing up to the fight, the world has carte blanche to redefine things, marriage being one, life being one, and the world has redefined what sex and sexuality is. So in other words, what they do is they run to this topic and they stake their flag of victory on it. They say, this is it. And we're going to tell you what it's all about. And like everything the world touches, the world destroys. Why? Because God gives all that is good and the world turns around and redefines it and ruins it. It's what we do as humans. We ruin things. And so I wanted to bring that up front, a few more verses before we get into this, and then we'll have Q&A. I find it interesting that the God of the Bible invented sex and sexuality. Hope that doesn't surprise you, but it's the God of the Bible who has invented sex and sexuality. It's the devil of the Bible who has invented the perversion of it. Music. God invents it. What does Satan do with it? Perverts it. That's what he does. And so God establishes the institution of marriage and all the beauty that's within it. Satan seeks to destroy marriage and Satan seeks to destroy sexuality and all the benefits of marriage, keeping that in mind. And so today in our modern world, the truth of the matter is that as it's my opinion, I levy this criticism against all of us and the church at large in the Western world that we need to grow up enough now regarding this topic to take it back for God. Take it back for the Word of God. Take it back to show the world what's right in this area. And I'm a firm believer that God's people should teach the world something about everything. Everything. You name the topic, we should be able to teach the world about that in right. And from gardening to stewardship of the earth to sexual and sexuality, to economies, to manners and customs. We should lead the way in it all and of it all because our God is the one who's given us the instructions. And to avoid something is to surrender. And I believe I'm talking to a church that refuses to surrender, which makes it so fun to be here and to be a pastor here at this church. So listen, hang on now. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 3 and 4 says, you must not have any gods or God. You must not have any God before me. Some versions, and I like it better, you shall not have any gods before me. Verse 4 says, you must not make for yourself any idol or any kind of an image of anything in the heavens or on earth or in the sea. God says, no idols, no gods before me. Now, if you're a side note, if you are a student of logic and reason, you're saying, aha, busted. The God of the Bible's admitting that there's other gods. He said it right there. You shall have no other God or gods before me. By his own admission, there's other gods. No, sorry, friend. The Bible says that he's the only God. We're the only ones dumb enough to go get a piece of wood or a stone and cut it into some shape with ears and a nose and a face on it and say, that's my God. Right? Now, we don't do that anymore. We just go down to the car lot and buy them and drive them home and worship them in our garage. But you know what I'm saying? The Bible says, God says, I'm the one that needs to be unchallenged in your life as God. And so you don't want to ruin your life by carving out idols and things to bow down to. Why do I bring this up? Why do I think that Exodus 20 verses 3 and 4 apply to the topic of why sex and sexuality? Because I'm going to announce it tonight. I believe that sex and sexuality in America is now America's new God. How dare you say that? Really? It's very easy to say that. Media, radio, rap, you name it. Billboards, thank you. Can't even drive down the freeway without being polluted. Sex is America's new God and the topic of it. We are the number one producing pornographic nation on earth. In fact, a geographical point is the city of Northridge, California. The number one producing city of pornography to the world, tragically in California, the United States of America. Sex is the American God. And it's what people think about. It's what people plan on. It's what people dream about. It's what people view. It's what people spend billions of dollars in America alone every year paying for subscriptions regarding this topic. So if you can think of a different God for America, I'm all ears, but I think that's the new God for America. And then finally, one more verse until we get into our study tonight this way is Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Jude 1, 3. It says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent," Jude says, "to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints." And so believe it or not, my dear friends, tonight in the Why series we are taking on tonight and following Wednesday nights, various topics regarding sex and sexuality. And it's going to range from basically an overview tonight, and we'll go in following weeks to things of sex and marriage, sex outside of marriage. What is it? Why is it? Regarding gender identity, why is it going on? Where did it come from? Transgenderism, LGBTQ, all of that. We're going to look at it from the Bible, and we're going to look at it from truth. And I'm delighted to announce to you, we're also going to be looking at it from scientific arguments as well. If along in this series, I encourage you, as we launch this mini series within the series tonight, I encourage you to bring any of your evolutionary friends. That's very important regarding the topic. You cannot be a proponent of any LGBTQ practices and claim to be an evolutionist. Did you hear me? It is logically impossible, literally impossible for you to be an evolutionist or a scientist and say that this works, and this is right, and this is not a problem. I don't even have to use my Bible. I just go science on you. In fact, when that time comes, I'm going to pretend to be an evolutionist to make the case. Why would I do that? Not to win an argument. That argument's not to be won. It's not even an argument. It's a falsehood. Here's the thing. Because we love people who are confused. We love people who are struggling. We love people who most have been violated sexually as a child. And so they were brought up confused, and they don't even know that they can be revived and be given a new life, just like all the rest of us. They need to know that. They need to be excited about that and hope be given to them. And so what we're going to be doing in this series is we're going to stop surrendering this area. And so I want to read this to you. It's a note I wrote to myself. I don't want to mess it up because to me it's important. All things sex and sexuality are open to redefining in these days because, number one, we didn't make sex and sexuality clear enough in previous generations. The church avoided it. Number two, nor did we address sex and sexuality often enough when we did, so in that we failed. And number three, we need to defend the biblical view of sex and sexuality because, again, God is the creator of it. Number one tonight, before we do Q&A, is why is sex and sexuality such a big deal these days? Number one, it's because you and I have been created differently. I want you to write that down. Why is it such a big deal? Why is this such a charged topic? Mark it down. Number one, this is where we begin. It's because you and I have been created differently. You and I, humans, differently. Is there scientific evidence? Is there a scientific consistency or integrity for that claim in the observable universe that you and I live in? Are we really different? When I say we, I'm talking about humans now. We need to reconcile this because everything created that is living and breathing has a code. We've been learning a little bit about that along the way in our previous studies, and that you are coded a certain way in your DNA. A monkey is coded a certain way. A shark, a certain way. It's Shark Week, isn't it? So I had to throw sharks in there. Whatever it is, it's coded a certain way. Animals reproduce. Animals don't go out and have a nice dinner and then go home and have sex. Animals don't do that. If you see animals doing whatever they're doing, they're making little animals of what they are. If they're not, you see this in adolescent animals, they are, as it were, going through almost practice or a response behavior. You might see two young cows goofing around and this looks like they're doing something there. What's going on? Not what you think is going on. Humans are altogether different. We're coded different. And man, I wish we had an infinite amount of time tonight to talk about. And we will talk about it later, about attraction. Why is that? I don't think, and I don't believe it's coded, where a moose looks at another moose and says, that moose has amazing, amazing eyelashes, and I love her knees. She's got amazing knees. They, like all animals, they smell, it's season, and biology takes over for the reproduction, for the propagation of that species. And you find that in Genesis, by the way. It is in the code that God created them, each of them, all of them, according to their own kind. And that speaks of creation and its coding. Listen, there are variations within all species. Do you understand that, everybody? Now, earlier days with Darwin and all, he took variations within the species and created his theory of evolution that things go from species to species. That was a huge leap. That's grand faith. I don't have that kind of faith. That's jumbo faith. I don't have that. He had it. I don't have it. Variation within the species happens in all species. And I'm looking around the sanctuary tonight, and there's all kinds of heights and widths and colors and pigmentation, and there's variation within the species. And you ought to thank God for that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called, Why is Sex and Sexuality Such a Big Deal These Days? Thanks for being with us today. Why is Sex and Sexuality Such a Big Deal These Days? Is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Why Series, a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life. And together, we'll discover the answers found in the Bible, which is, of course, our amazing roadmap towards our meaning and purpose in this life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, with all that's happening in the world today, be inspired and encouraged through the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference that's hosted by our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs. Through our exclusive live stream pass, you can watch the conference live on Saturday, September 11th, and for only $5, you'll also have access to pre-recorded teachings and backstage access with the speakers themselves. So get your streaming pass, or to find a church nearby you that's hosting the conference, simply visit our website at beholdhecomes.org. That's beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.